days. It's time to stay focused on God. It's time to let God do a work in us. Paul was urging them, oh my God, to set their body be a living sacrifice. Give up your will and follow Jesus. It's time, saints of God, to follow the Lord. It's time to put your will down and follow him. It's time, saints of God, let him conform us, to let him transformate us. Hallelujah. To let him do a work in us, to surrender our whole life to the Lord and let him lead and guide us. It's time, saints, because we don't want to adopt the world's pattern. We don't want to do what the world do. We want to follow Jesus. We want that renewed mind with God's truth, aligned discernment to live a life in the perfect will, which is good and pleasing and complete to the Lord. We want to follow him, not the world. We want to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. But again, saints, don't let the world corrupt you. This is temporary values. All this is temporarily. You want to be transformed. Change. We want to be rooted in Jesus. We want to be anchored in Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. We want that total transformation to follow Jesus. Come with a renewed mind. Hallelujah. New mind remembers now. Come through study, meditation, and prayer. It's calling us to live righteous, reject sin and self-destruction, to live a life that's pleasing to God's design. Not man design, God design. We want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. We seal your word with a prayer. Spirit of the living God, touch that word right now in the name of Jesus. Let it go forth, heal and deliver, and set the captive free. And Father, most of all, let them love you with a whole heart. Lord, we love you. I love you, and Jesus does too. Bless you. God be with you.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. So turn with me to John, the Gospel according to John, chapter number 3. And don't panic when you hear I have 14 verses to read. Don't panic, though. All right? Anybody got anywhere to go in the next hour? Anybody got anywhere to go in the next hour? All right. Hopefully you don't. I'm going to try not to be an hour long, but we're going to see what the Lord has to say. Amen. Amen. We're going to read verse 1 through 14. And at verse 14, we're going to read that in concert, all right? Okay. When you have John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he either enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and in spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not thou tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth? So it is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that hath come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And let's read together. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. May God add a blessing to those Hebrews and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. Amen. I want to thank God for all of you. Thank God for our visitors and friends and my wife, to the ministers, ministries that are in this place, that are in your bellies. We thank God for you. Grace and peace from our Father, and let his peace be multiplied in your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to continue part two of a series that God has placed in my heart, a religious reset, because we need to be reset, because we've gotten away from what true religion is. Again, the Bible says true religion is to care for the widow, and the orphan, and to help the poor, to do for those others, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's real stuff. Amen. But we've gotten away from that. And so we need to have a reset, just like we would our computers, just like we would our phones. We need to reset so it can function what? Properly. Amen. Amen. So for our relationship to function properly with God, we have to reset ourselves. Amen. Amen. And I want to use for part two the subject or the subtitle of this series, Fire Insurance is Not Enough. Amen. Fire insurance. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, fire insurance is not enough. Amen. Amen. I thank God for last week. I caught hold of something and I just about lost my voice, but this morning it feels so much better. I sound much better. Amen. And I hate the way I sound, but I even sound much better this morning. Amen. I want to talk to you about this because it's important and imperative to our faith and understanding, and to charge you today, because our job as Christians are to make other Christians. Amen. That's our job. That's what we should be doing. Our job is not to get this gift and this truth and hold it in and say, I got mine. You need to get yours. You ought to have an obligation and a feeling that I need to help somebody else to get this. That has to be our focus. Amen. When we start looking at being selfish with this gospel and I got my salvation, they need to get theirs, you know, that kind of attitude, that's not what Jesus promoted. Amen. He didn't promote that. He told us to go out to the highways and the byways, and to what? To compel men to come to him and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And contrary to popular belief, that has nothing to do with going to the pool and baptizing. It has to do with making people disciples and their character to change in the way of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That way they become baptized and their life becomes evident that they are saved. Amen. Amen. So we must make sure that people receive this truth. Amen. And so we can't be so selfish that we don't want to share it even with our enemy. I know I wasn't going to get amen now. We can't be so selfish that we don't want to share it even with our enemy. Amen. If we really do what the early church did, if we got reset and did it, then guess what? Paul preached to the Romans just like the ones that had him in jail, the one that had him in prison. Jesus, he allowed himself to be shown to those who didn't believe. And that's why the centurion soldier who was overseeing his crucifixion said, surely this is the Son of God. What have you done? Well, people would say, surely you're a child of God. Think about that for a moment in the midst of your crucifixion. Now, John, the gospel writer, John, some people say that John was a kinsman, a relative of Jesus Christ. Some say that he was a cousin and whatnot. He was a son of Zebedee. His brother was named James, who had become the first bishop of the church after Jesus' death, and he was beheaded. He was killed by Herod, and they thought to do the same to Peter a week later. But we find out that that John, not only was he a relative, but he was the only disciple that actually went to the cross and actually went all the way and followed Jesus throughout his trial. John went and he never left Jesus's side. Amen. He never left him. Everybody else scattered and fled and didn't come back. Peter denied him, but John stayed right there with him. Amen. So John's writings will be just a little bit different. Do you know that John's message never changed, and he died well over 100 years old, and what he heard Jesus preach from a 20, 30 year old man, he preached that same message. His message was the message of love. Did you know that? And so John, if you read his other writings like 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, the little Johns, if you read Revelation, he talks about love in that. Amen. He talks about love, loving God, loving each other. And so John's message is love, because John's key verse in chapter 3 is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Amen. "And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I could debate and say John was Jesus' nephew and all this stuff, but I won't bore you with that this morning, because I could get into a debate with you and we could see who's right. Amen. Just to let you know, I'm always right. All right. I just wanted to see you all awake. And so here it is. Now, we want to use our topic this morning so we stay on task, is that fire insurance is not enough. Many times we try to insure ourselves just in case there is a loss. We have health insurance because we need it to be able to help pay some of the bill that we might have if we go to the doctor. We have life insurance just in case we die, that our family won't be stuck with trying to bury us and asking people for money and selling fish plates and chicken plates and asking people to go to my GoFundMe and give some money for them. You know, that's why we have life insurance, to secure us. Then we have our auto insurance just in case somebody decides to act crazy, texting and driving, and hit our vehicle, we can have some insurance so that we can have a replacement or at least a rental to get back and forth to work until they fix our vehicle, right? So we have insurance as security. But then there's fire insurance. Fire insurance is there just in case there is a fire, you know. And if there is a fire, then they'll pay for the damages that has been done. And so that'll help us to be protected from what we'll suffer in case of a fire. So some of us treat our salvation the same way we treat insurance. You know, we went to church and we got baptized, so we're saved from suffering fire damage. I don't hear me now. So I don't have to burn in hell, because at least I went and got baptized. But let me tell you something. Fire insurance is not enough. Let me tell you why. Because we can try to save ourselves from the damages of fire or the damages that hell might cause us, the eternal damnation. But guess what? Just because you get baptized don't actually mean that it saves you from going to hell. Preaching here today. Now, I know that the preachers of old would compel us from the mourner's bench to come to Jesus, take the preacher's hand, get baptized. But many of us, let's be honest, we did that because we didn't want to either be the last person sitting on the mourner's bench, or either somebody told us, "You better get your behind up and get you some religion." Come on, be real now. Somebody had to tell us we need to go be baptized so that we didn't go burn in hell. But do you know God doesn't want us to be fearful and scared and then make a choice based on fear? He wants us to make the choice based on love. When we realize how much he loves us, then we don't have to purchase fire insurance, because we have assurance, and it's called the blessed assurance, because Jesus is mine. Do I have a witness? And so I don't need the fire insurance. I don't need to be afraid. And because I'm afraid, I go get baptized. Because I'm afraid, I go and make a confession that I don't know if I really believe. Because I'm afraid, I go and say I did my part. And now God, it's on you to do your part by not letting me go to hell. That's not how it works. How it works is that I get baptized because I love him. I go and I confess him because I believe that he died for my sin. And I realize how bad off I am and that I need a savior. And so I choose him because I can't please God on my own. I need his blood to please God. Amen. Lord, help me now. And so here it is. He says there was a man of the Pharisees. I think you got my point now, right? Okay, talk back to me. Do you have my point now? Okay, so there was a man of the Pharisees whose name was Nicodemus, and his name means conqueror. He was a bad man. He was a good man, too. A ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that come from God. Now, notice what they said. We recognize your ability to teach, but you, when we know that the only way you can teach this is that you came from God, because you really, you know, you outdoing us. Every time we try to challenge you, you're getting us, and we recognize that. Now, he came to Jesus by what? By night. And he says that nobody can do these miracles except you come from God. And there's some things that we need to understand that people can't do except that God gives us the strength to do it and the ability. Amen? And so here is Nicodemus in his secret inquiry. He comes to Jesus inquiring. He says, Rabbi, he said, you know, we understand. And when he said he was trying to say that we all had a discussion, but I come in representation to let you know this is what we really think about you. Amen? And sometimes we need to know what people think about us. Sometimes they may not think you are who you say you are. Now, they didn't think Jesus was who he said he was, because he said, I'm the Son of God, right? And so they didn't believe that he was the Son of God, but they say, you're just a teacher that's come from God, because you didn't come through our way. You didn't come through our religion. You didn't come through our Sanhedrin. You didn't come through the Pharisaic way, but we believe that you got some ways, and maybe we can join up with you, but I came to talk to you by secret. Amen? So here he is. He comes to talk to him by secret, and he feared what others might think of him, and that's why he didn't want to do it in the daytime. We can't be so to the point that we believe something about Jesus, but we're afraid to let other people know that we affiliate with Jesus. Lord, help me today. You know how it is. We don't want people to know that we really affiliate with that church. We really go. You know, you don't want your coworkers to know that you come in here and shout your wig off. You know, you don't want your coworkers to know that you dress up and go to church on Sunday and you bust a couple of buttons because you realize how good God has been. You know, we're ashamed. We don't want nobody to know that we praise God. So when you know, when something go on at work, we don't want them to know. So we just praise God. Praise God. Under our voice, you know, we wait till we can go to the bathroom and we thank him. We don't thank him in front. We don't say hallelujah in front of nobody. We kind of wait. We're afraid to even say I'm blessed, because we don't want him to start judging us. But Nicodemus came secretly, and he wanted to know who you really are. Who's Jesus? You know, and sometimes people ought to want to know who Jesus is in you. They ought to want to know. You ought to create a hunger and a thirst that make them want to think about, you know, I want to try what you've tried. You ought to let them know that if it hadn't been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I'd be. And look at where I came from, and look at where I am and where I'm going. You start talking to them about that, and then it may create a hunger. And they may ask you, look, would you tell me about this Jesus that you serve? Maybe I don't know him like I think I know him. Maybe I'm not serving him the way I should. And so we need to make sure that people understand who Jesus is through us. Amen. Now, when we look at this, Nicodemus, he was of the Sanhedrin, and he was a chief ruler, and he was one who had a voice. And by the way, Nicodemus was probably and most likely there when they were accusing Jesus. And even though he had a meeting with Jesus prior to Jesus being judged by them, he was silent on his on defending Jesus or saying anything to help Jesus out in the condition or in the situation. And when they begin to judge touch him. And so Nicodemus was quiet. Are we quiet sometime when it comes to Jesus? Are you afraid of your woke friends? What are young people at? You know, that's the thing that's going now. I'm woke. You woke, but your eyes closed. You know, we can be woke, but our eyes can still be closed. Right? And many of them may be woke, but their eyes are still closed. And we're afraid to tell them about Jesus because they're going to attack us. Bring your attack. I don't care. I know in whom I believe. I know my Redeemer lives. I know what he's done for me. I know that he's real. What you're talking about hadn't even been proved. All right? I'm woke too. Amen. And I know that the thief not going to overtake me. Amen, because I can see what's coming. Amen. But he goes on, and Jesus, Nicodemus, we spend enough time talking about him. He said that there's no way that a man can do these miracles except he come from God. Do you have anything in your life that's happening that people will say, I know that you know God? Yeah. Is there anything? This is the reset now. Start thinking about yourself and start thinking and wondering if when people look at me, do they see anything in me that make them think that I know God or that God lives in me? By the way, he should be living in you. We shouldn't be referring to God as if he's so far away. Oh, God up in heaven. No, God is right here. Y'all with me? And I don't mind talking. I'm trying to bring Bible study to Sunday morning anyway. All right. And so we got to get to a point to where people, when they look at us, they don't always say that they know I know how he going to react. The Bible said we ought to be not predictable, but what? Peculiar people. Yeah. All right. Let me go on. And so they said, it ain't no way, Jesus, you can do these things except God be with you. Verse 3 says, and Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look at this. He's saying now Nicodemus came in a secret inquiry, but we find out that there are some imperatives to salvation. These salvific imperatives that we need to pay attention to is what Jesus says. Now, these things are very important. Jesus said, except a man be what? Born again. The word born again is the word anathen. In the Greek, and it means a man must be completely born fully all over again, or to be born all over again from above, and that's what it means. And now, when we start talking about this, it is important for you to pay attention right now, because the theology that the other preachers are saying now is that there's no need for conversion, because we need to just accept people, and when they come in, that's good enough. That's not true. According to Jesus. And if Jesus is the author, finisher of our faith, he is the creator of this religion that we believe in. There are so many of them that try to get you to say, we gotta love my, and I gotta love everybody, and I do love everybody, but I need to love them enough to tell them that I don't want to have eternity without them. Right? If I love you, I want to love you to eternity. I don't want to love you just on earth and put up with, I don't want to filio you. I want to agape you. I want to show you this sacrificial love. If it means you're going to be mad with me for a while, then I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm going to try to help you get out of your mess. I'm going to help you get out of the stuff that you're in. Come on and say amen here. And so the preachers nowadays, the theology nowadays, let me say that, the progressive theology is suggesting that we don't have to have a conversion. People just need to come to church. It's not true. That's not true. Tell somebody that's not true. Because I got into a debate with some about some things, and I'm like, I can't see how your mind could think that we just supposed to accept everything that people do when they come to church. Because now it's not a church, it's a social club. Now it's not a church, it's a fraternity or a sorority or whatever, because I am who I am, but I'm part of it because I paid my money. Some of them don't pay that. But anyway, but we can't get to that point to where we let this become a social gathering and not a gathering of those who love God, and not a place where we come together and assemble. When I say assemble, I'm not talking about just show up. I'm talking about getting your place in worship. Get in your place and serve. Amen. And so it is important. Jesus said, except a man be what? Born again. Except he be new. Now, some people say they were born a certain way. I say that's fine, but be born again. Amen. Is that all right? I'm not picking at anybody. And I know they say, oh, y'all always talking about certain folks. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about everybody. If you're a murderer, be born again. If you're a liar, be born. Because some people, boy, they just look to tell lies. You know how you, I'm going to stop there for a minute and tell you this. You know how you see people and you know they ain't doing nothing but lying. And every time they open their mouth and you looking, I got a habit of looking in people's mouth. And when I look in their mouth, I see lie coming out. I don't see nothing they saying. I see lie. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm just ready to get this conversation over because I know everything you just told me was a lie. I had a man tell me about how he seen Bigfoot. Let me leave that alone. On Highway 1. Across from Elias. Okay, I'm not see y'all laughing, so you know it was a lie, right? So I'm just saying that's how people do. They just and so he needed to be what? Born again. Because you can't keep lying and you can't keep doing what you do and not have a conviction. I was telling somebody this week, you know, the most important thing is that if you got a conviction, if you are not convicted when you do something, then something is definitely wrong. If something is wrong, if you can just freely do it and then don't think about it at some point, and it may not be today, it may be tomorrow, or it may be Sunday before you start thinking about, man, I got to stop doing that. Right? Okay. All right. Let me. So he said, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. So how are these woke people telling me how to see God and they can't see the kingdom of God because they ain't born again either? How can somebody who's not born again tell me how to be born again? I want somebody that know what it's like to come out of darkness into the light to tell me, not somebody who's still in darkness, not somebody who don't know the way, not somebody, and when I say don't know the way, who don't know Jesus, because he is the what? Way, the truth, and the life. Come on and say amen here. Y'all talk back now. And so we got to understand there must be a conversion. Jesus even told Peter, you've been walking with me for 3.5 years. He said that the devil desires to sift you as wheat, and I pray that your faith fail you not. He said, but when you are converted, strengthen your... Now, Paul, Peter had been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, and you mean that he wasn't converted yet? No, because he still was cussing. No, because he still was lying. No, because he was still wanting to fight. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. He cut a man's ear off, but not because he was trying to cut his ear. He cut that man's ear off because he was trying to take his head off, and the man ducked, and so happened he caught his ear. So Peter was a bad man. Peter was a cussing man. He was a man that would cut you. Peter was a man that would lie to you. And guess what? He had to be what? Born again. Jesus said when you're converted, when something changes in you, when my Holy Spirit moves upon you, then you can strengthen your brother. And until I get converted, until I have a change, I can't strengthen nobody. I can't help anybody else change because I'm the one that needs help. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they said, how in the world can a person who's an alcoholic pray for a person who's a drug addict? He ain't got deliverance. How he gonna tell him how to get it? He had a point. My God. Okay. So he said, you cannot even what? See. You can't even identify what's God and what's not. You can't even identify what's right and what's wrong. That's why so many people agree with what's wrong today, because we're not converting people. We're just telling them, come on in and have a seat and everything going to be all right. If you watch, and I'm telling you, just pay attention now. If you watch many of the televangelists, they don't preach the spiritual gospel anymore. They make their pews turn into some type of couch for psychiatrists, and all of them have studied psychology, and they come in, they tell you how you're feeling, they tell you how bad you're feeling, and then they tell you that, you know, it's going to be all right, and they tell you you need to talk it out and you need to do A, B, and C, and then it'll be all right. They tell you all this stuff, but they don't tell you that you got to just trust God and God, ask God to change you. Let me tell you something. What if God don't change your condition? What if you still be the same? What if you're still sick and you don't get healed? What if people still hate you after you've loved them? What if all this stuff still happens to you? You need this. and you need God not to change your condition, but you need him to condition you for the change. So God need to condition me, better me, bless me, help me, so that I can be able to make it through this mess. That's what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil because I know God is with me. Which one of us today are going to say that I know my situation hadn't changed? It's been hard. I've been broke. I've been busted. I've been through the storm and rain, but thank God he's been with me all the way. Anybody know this God I'm talking about? And the only way you can know that he's there